Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 175 of CJ Evolution. Pat Fitzgibbons here, host and creator of the show. Whatever you were doing, wherever you were at, thank you for tuning in. Special thanks to the brave men and women out there who serve in law enforcement and other roles in the criminal justice field. Thank you so much for the difficult jobs you do day in and day out. Special thanks, very special thanks to the brave men and women who serve in our U.S. military. We would not have this country, folks, plain and simple, if it wasn't for your sacrifice and your bravery. I have one of those veterans on the show today, Eric McIlvenny. He's a retired Marine Corps officer, Naval Academy graduate. He did three tours in Afghanistan, and the last tour he did over there, he had a devastating accident. He hit an IED that changed the course of his life. I hope you enjoy the one and only Eric McIlvenny. Eric McIlvenny is on the show today. Eric, welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, for people who don't know who Eric is, can you please give us some insight? Give your bio, and who are you?
Oh, right. Yeah. So I grew up in Western Pennsylvania. I was pretty active, loved sports, ended up going to the United States Naval Academy, graduated, became a Marine Corps infantry officer, married a naval officer. My wife is pretty awesome. I did a couple deployments, and it was my last deployment that I stepped on an improvised explosive device and triggered an explosion that led to the amputation of my right leg below the knee. And I used triathlon and Ironman to recover and rehab from that injury. And now I compete in a lot of different endurance sports. So that's me in a nutshell. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm an athlete. I'm a student. I like it all.
Motivational speaker, because I've seen some of your work.
Yes, sir.
First of all, thank you for your service, sir. I you know, you and the others, I always give thanks before my shows to, obviously my show's a law enforcement show, criminal justice show, but we would not have this country if it wasn't for brave men like you and women too, your wife, serving every day and protecting this great country.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate that, and thank you for your service as well.
You know, can you tell us about some of your other experiences? I knew you were deployed, what, three times in Afghanistan, Eric?
Yeah, well, I had three deployments.
Three deployments.
My last one was Afghanistan. My second one was Middle East, just hopping around on and off of a ship. And my first one was a deployment to Southeast Asia, just some, interesting experiences, all three. Pretty different, but it culminated in my combat tour to Afghanistan.
There's a new movie out. I'm sure you've seen it with the guy Chris Hemsworth about some Special Forces Green Berets operators that were the first in Afghanistan.
Yes, yeah. I didn't see it. My parents saw it. Mm-hmm. My mom said it hit her pretty close to home. But a wonderful movie. I decided I wanted to read the book first.
So sure.
In the middle of the book, which is just, oh my goodness, I love it. And heroes.
Well, you're a hero too, sir.
Well, thank you.
What gets you up in the morning? I mean, what motivates you, Eric? I mean, a lot of people, I mean, obviously you got training behind you with the Marine Corps and discipline, but some people, and I'm sure you've seen them, just kind of give up after something devastating like this happens in their life. But others like you persevere. I mean, what gets you up? I mean, what motivates you?
Yeah, I think just first of all, I just have a love for life. Mm-hmm. And there are challenges embedded in those. And I've been fortunate to, maybe the way I was raised, just the foundation that I've had, I've found comfort in those challenges, because at the other side of that, you know, when you go through something, you get better and you grow from it. So I think I just have that, and I just have this thirst to get out there and challenge myself. And sometimes on those days, like, you know, I have those days as well that I don't want to get out of bed. I have a group of people around me that are amazing. You know, my kids, you know, they expect me to be inactive, and involved dad, and that is the coolest job that I have is being dad, and a wife who supports me in my athletic endeavors and traveling to speak and doing this, and just friends and family that you know, anytime I need a little bit of a boost, they're there to give it to me. Mm-hmm. and kind of hold me accountable, and I think, you know, I feed off of that, and I think we feed off of each other.
Mm-hmm. So you're injured, you come back stateside. What was the cap? I mean, have you always wanted to do, because you've done Ironman races and other races, what was the catalyst? Did you just say, I wanted to do this, and what was the reason why?
Yeah, well, I knew I needed to do something big, and mm-hmm. that was that kind of came from my past. I had never competed in any type of endurance sports like that. And, you know, I played football, baseball growing up, some rugby in college. I was more of a ball sport kind of guy. But after I was injured, I wanted to do something big. It stemmed off of an email that I got from my commanding officer, and it's great. You know, the leaders in our lives, mm-hmm. You know that they care about you when they challenge you, because that's when you grow. He sent me an email 2 weeks after my injury, and the email, I opened it up and read it, and it said, "Hey, Eric, let me know when you're going to run your first marathon."
That's awesome.
Yeah, you read that and it's like, oh man, that's right. I need to set some goals. And what popped into my head first was the Ironman triathlon, because it seemed so big and so impossible at that time. And it's like, yeah, that's it. That's mm-hmm. that's how I'm going to recover. If I could run an Ironman, like, then I don't have to worry about learning to walk again. Like, that'll be easy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the physical therapy behind that, Eric, can you talk about that physical therapy behind that?
The physical therapy, I guess when I call the Ironman being my physical therapy, I had just physical therapy for months, teaching me how to use my prosthetic and walk mm-hmm. again. And there were some challenges within that, but, I had a goal to work towards, you know, it wasn't just like getting up and going through motions. It was, okay, I need to strengthen my core so I can walk, because mm-hmm. when I can walk, then I can run. And when I can run, then I can start thinking about this goal, this Ironman. I just used it that was the big goal, the Ironman. Mm-hmm. And then, each smaller step, each smaller milestone, the more reachable ones at that time, those were, you know, the smaller goals. Those were the milestones that kept pushing me to the next level, mm-hmm. and kept me motivated. And it's one of those things, like what gets you out of bed in the morning, you know, when I'm scheduled for a race, when I have a race a couple months out, like I get out of bed cause I want to do well in that race. Mm-hmm. So when I had that goal, you know, it was a reason to get up, to go to physical therapy 5 times a week instead of 4, and ask for more sessions and do this and that, and just go that extra mile because you're working towards something. And that's mm-hmm. what I'm just always big in having a goal out there so I can help myself progress. And, mm-hmm. and that's always important, is progressing as an individual.
When goals are so important, you know that, Eric. I mean, when you're out there talking and you're giving presentations, I mean, what do you tell to people who say, yeah, I'm not really good at goal setting, or I don't know how to start? I mean, what do you tell them?
Yeah, setting a goal, it's really not that hard. I say start small. Mm-hmm. And it's it could be something simple. You know, just an example, like my 2018 a New Year's resolution is, and this is crazy, sounds so easy, is to take my wife out on a date at least once a month. and it's hard because I have 3 kids, and
sure.
and I set that goal for a reason, because we had gone 3 or 4 months without spending like time alone together.
That's important. Yeah.
I need to set this, and it's easy, but it's one of those things. If I can have the discipline and consistency to do that 12 times this year, you know, then that is teaching discipline and consistency. So then you can set your goals a little bit bigger and a little bit better. So yeah, I say just, you know, start small, and you have to make, I have found that I had to make resilience a habit, mm-hmm. you know, because anytime you have a goal, it's easy to quit on it. Mm-hmm. That's the easy thing. But when you make resilience a habit, then you're not going to quit on the small things. And that, you know, once it's a habit, if you have a bigger goal, then it's going to be easier to stay disciplined and stay consistency and see it through, even though it's hard.
Well, and you said, you know, there has to be some realistic goals. I mean, they have to be manageable. And I like what you say about small goals and then progress, because, you know, the person who might get up and say, I'm going to lose, you know, 50 pounds in a month. You know, some people might be able to do that, but that might be not a realistic goal for a lot of people. Start out incrementally and then build up.
Yeah.
Who were some of your mentors growing up? I know you said you're a big family guy, and you got this letter from your commanding officer, which I'm making an assumption that he was probably a mentor to you. Who were some other mentors growing up in your life, Eric?
Yeah. I mean, first person that pops into my mind is my father. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad, growing up in Western PA, blue collar guy, you know, worked on a printing press, and I just, that's what I saw. I'd see him leave for work in the morning, come home and have ink all over him, you know, have a bad back, have this and that. And never once did he complain about that job, because that job gave him the money to provide us with shelter, food, clothes, everything that we needed. Mm-hmm. And he just did it over and over again. And I just, he just set the example as a father. Because there were times that he's working night shifts or day shifts, times we didn't see him much, but every chance that he had with us, I have two sisters, so there's three of us, he made it count. So he really taught me quality over quantity, because the time that he spent with us was quality, even though it wasn't that much. So I grew up respecting that work ethic, and that just ability to go through life, being responsible and having work ethic, responsible, and having this love for someone else, you know, greater than yourself. Like, he cared about his family so much that he'd really do anything for us. So I just really looked up to him. And you said it, my commanding officer. You know, I was very fortunate as a Marine to serve with some amazing
oh yeah people. Yeah.
This guy, I served under him for, about 2 years, two deployments, and I just learned so many lessons, leadership lessons from him. And he really, really was a mentor, and just challenged me in many different ways, made me a better Marine, made me a better husband, a better father, and he really ignited that spark, that fire that led me to the Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. Is he still serving, Eric?
He is. Okay. Yeah.
What drove you to the Naval Academy?
I knew I wanted to be a Marine. Mm-hmm. When it was in middle school that we had to do a career research report. I did it on the Marine Corps, and I was like, yes, this is it. You know, I was just so impressed with who the Marines are, what they represent. I'm like, I'm going to be a Marine when I grow up. Mm-hmm. And I was going through high school. I did well in school because my mom made me.
Like most parents.
Exactly. You know, if I wanted to play sports and if I wanted to play under the lights on Friday nights, football or whatever, I had to get good grades. So I tried in school, and you know, I had, you know, good grades, playing baseball, football, just enjoying it all. And it was my grandfather that said, hey, you know, there's some different routes into the Marine Corps. You can enlist, but I think you should check out the United States Naval Academy. Because if you go there, you can keep playing sports. I was like, okay, that sounds good. You can get a great education, good engineering education. And when you graduate, you can become a Marine officer. And, you know, with those three, I was like, yeah, I'm sold. Let's check it out. And I applied.
Mechanical engineering degree, right, Eric?
Yes, I did mechanical engineering.
Now, you have to give, what, 6 years after your commission, or what?
Yeah, from the Naval Academy, it's 5 years.
Five years. Yep. We talked a little bit about your mentors. What about favorite books?
Favorite books? I guess I've been reading a good bit lately. I listen to a lot of books when I'm training. I spend a lot of time training.
Sure.
I guess younger, like high school, early college, I loved the book Gates of Fire. Mm-hmm. Just really, really, really cool read. And And I just really appreciated that. But I think recently I've read a few good ones. I like biography type books, and there's there's a real good one called Fearless. It's about a Navy SEAL, Adam Brown, who he was killed in action, but it really talks about his life and who he is, and just this tough guy who's been through a lot, and he's a Christian and a Navy SEAL, and just a great story. I recommend Fearless. And I recommend, there's a newer one out called Grit. It's from, written by Angela Duckworth, who has done some studies in resilience, and it's really cool, because sometimes when you look at like resilience, it's more of words and theory, but she was able to put some facts behind it, so it was a really interesting read. I really appreciated that, because it's a skill that's important.
Now, I always ask successful people like you, Eric, what is your morning routine? Do you have a morning routine? I find that most people do.
Yeah, I do. It maybe it doesn't match everybody's. I've found that everyone is unique, because I've done that where I've like, okay, this is this person's routine. After 3 days, I'm like, this doesn't work for me. So what I do is I wake up early to train. I wake up 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I start my training. And each day, because I still run triathlons, I still run Ironmans and other endurance races. So I might train for 2, 3, 4 hours, depending on what workouts I have that day. But that's it. Wake up, coffee, and I just get after it. And then when I'm done, I come back, I shower, eat a little bit of breakfast, and I sit down. And before I start my work, my day, whatever it is that I'm doing, I do about a 15-minute just sit down and a little bit of devotion, really. I'm a Christian, so I spend a little bit of time in the Bible, do that, do some prayer, reflect a little bit. And then I jump into my day, and I try to prioritize my day. Like, I have a whiteboard in my office, which is in my basement, and I try to put the three big things that I want to accomplish. Like in a given day, I probably have about 15 things that I want to accomplish, and if I don't prioritize, then I'm going to be working on the wrong things. So I try to get those three things out there. So yeah, that's it.
What I do, and I don't know if you do this, Eric, is excuse me. I write a lot. I journal a lot. So if I don't write things down and prioritize and write my goals for the day or the month or the week, I find that I don't do them as much as if I'd write them down in the first place.
Oh, I love that.
Because visually I have to see it.
Yeah.
You know, right? Because I'm getting too old. I can't remember everything, Eric. I'm getting too old, dude.
I love it. I'll tell you what, though. When you write your goal down, whether it's short term, long term, what it is, and you have it somewhere where you can read it in the morning. I'm sure there's a study on this somewhere.
Oh yeah, there has been. Yeah.
It becomes more real. When you read, if you wake up and read your goal, then it becomes more real. And I think it even comes a little bit more real when you tell someone else who you really care about that goal. Because then they have the opportunity to hold you accountable to it. Yeah,
exactly.
So that's, man, I love that, writing it down.
How do you face adversity? You've been through just amazing or horrible adversity. I'm sorry, Eric. If somebody's listening to this show later on and they're facing some adversity and challenges in life, what advice would you give them?
So if you're facing adversity in life, my biggest advice is just continue to put one foot in front of the other. There's times where like that adversity just seems so big, but really it's only going to last for a period of time, and you're going to come out on the other side, and it's your choice how you're going to come out. So it's, when you're in that period, know that you just got to kind of you suit up and you just go and put one foot in front of the other and do one thing at a time. You can't always control all of your emotions and everything that's going on, but there are small things that you can do one at a time to continue to put one foot in front of the other and push through that period with a hope that on the other side of that, there's going to be some blue skies.
I remember my mom growing up, she used to tell us, God doesn't give you what you can't handle. So yes. you can handle a lot. And, you know, he gives you just as much as you can handle, and you can get through anything.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. That's beautiful.
All right, buddy. How can people find you? If they want to find Eric McIlvenny, how can they find you out in the universe?
Look for the guy running down the road with one leg. I'm on a website, my name, www.ericmcilvenny.com, and then I'm on social media, and then I love connecting with people and building relationships. So and just privileged to have opportunity to travel around and speak at different venues, mm-hmm. whether it's corporate or a school or a university. But I also love answering questions and talking to people and learning from them.
Well, Eric, God bless you, sir. Thank you for your service to this great nation. Whatever we can do at the CJ Evolution podcast, please let us know. Hopes that you have much success in the future, sir.
Awesome. Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.